Gear Patrol just called their ISO-certified dive watch the best sub-$500 dive watch. Full stop. And their ceramic watch material almost magical. The Wall Street Journal called them iconoclastic cool, potentially redefining the industry itself. Who are we talking about? It's Movement. And they're leveling up your gift-giving with the biggest deals of the holiday season and the sleekest watches around. Shop 30 to 60% off Movement's variety of designs, colorways, and functionalities. From the thinnest automatic dress watch under $500 to waterproof guarantee adventure-ready sport watches to rare ceramics, Movement's got options for everyone on your list. Whether you're gifting for family, friends, or yourself, be the good gifter this year with Movement's huge site-wide holiday sales and enjoy the usual fast and free shipping. Shop 30 to 60% off now at movement.com. That's MVMT.com.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar.
What if I told you this holiday season you can stuff your face with tasty, craveable snacks and wait for it, feel great? Hi, I'm Will, founder of IQBar, the only plant protein bar formulated for your body and your brain. IQBar's brain-boosting nutrients are designed to refuel, nourish, and satisfy hunger with zero sugar crash. Featuring delicious holiday flavors like gingerbread, IQ bars are the less than 200 calorie snack that satisfies your sweet tooth and your protein goals. Right now, take 25% off all IQ bar products and get free shipping. Also, check out our other limited edition holiday flavors like peppermint mocha jitter-free IQ Joe coffee. Clean ingredients, fantastic taste, and zero regrets. Tis the season to refuel smarter, hydrate harder, and caffeinate larger with IQ bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code AUDIO to get 25% off all IQBar products plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code AUDIO.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Hey there, I'm Jeff Penn.
I'm Alex Young.
We're the hosts of Deep Cuts the Gate. It's a movie trivia podcast where I have three contestants and I give them three movies and they try to come up with the most random, obscure, or minor actors from those films. The deeper the cut, the more points they get. It works like this. Hey, Alex, what's your deepest cut for A Knight's Tale?
Paul Bettany?
What's your deepest cut for the movie Daredevil?
Kevin Smith?
Oh, that's pretty good. If you like this sort of thing and even deeper cuts by better guests such as Dan Riskin and James Duthie, this might be the show for you. Deep Cuts the Game. Find it wherever you get your podcasts.
Darkcast Network. Welcome to the dark side of podcasting.
Abgenommen bedauert.
Frequency. And thank you all for tuning in, and welcome back to another episode. Here we have Volume 3 of The Six Shooter, a series that debuted in 1953, starring Jimmy Stewart. The series was created and written by Frank Burt for the NBC network. If you enjoyed this episode, please check out Volumes 1 and 2 in the archives, and also feel free to let me know. All the ways to contact me are located in the description. If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider following, reviewing, and rating. The higher the rating, the easier it is for people to find this podcast and enjoy these great stories. And with all that, please enjoy the show.
In a moment, you will hear James Stewart as The Six Shooter, just one of the many great stars brought to you on Sundays on NBC. Every Sunday, hear Hume Cronin and Jessica Tandy in The Marriage, Sir Laurence Olivier on Theatre Royal, Lawrence Tibbett with The Golden Voices, Helen Hayes, Frederick March, Rex Harrison, and Lily Palmer on the NBC Star Playhouse. All of them heard only on NBC. James Stewart as The Six Shooter. The man in the saddle is angular and long-legged. His skin is sun-dyed brown. The gun in his holster is gray steel and rainbow mother of pearl, its handle unmarked. People call them both the six-shooter. Coleman, America's leader in modern automatic home heating equipment, and the National Broadcasting Company present James Stewart as the six-shooter, a transcribed series of dramas based on the life of Britt Ponsett, the Texas plainsman who wandered through the western territories, leaving behind a trail of still-remembered legends. Now, in just a moment, immediately following this important announcement, you'll hear Act One of The Six Shooter. The Red Cross trains millions of Americans each year in first aid, water safety, home nursing, and as volunteer nurses' aides. Volunteer nurses' aides assist professional nurses in hospitals and clinics. This help requires skill. It is through the Red Cross that you and your neighbor can get that skill, can get that training. Through the Red Cross, you can answer the call of your family and your community. Help make this training possible. Give through the American Red Cross Fund. Now, Act One of The Six Shooter, starring James Stewart.
The Virtue City was over the crest of Bare Neck Mountain and then down the northern slope. That's why you couldn't see the town until you were almost there, not in the clouds. There always seemed to be a stack of thick marshmallow clouds along the side of Bare Neck, and by the time you got through them, the town was right in front of you. Anyway, it was about 2 o'clock in the afternoon when I hit the city limits, and at least what had been the city limits 10-15 years ago. Of course, nowadays, houses on the outskirts weren't much more than just loose timber and broken windows. When I reached the main street, things looked more normal. Not like a real town, of course, but, well, the mercantile was open and the bank and the post office. 10 or 12 stores, maybe, all still doing business. I spotted what I was looking for. Oh, boy, oh. The sign on the Opera House said Rocky Mountain Western Railroad, Virtue City Office. Well, I guess they might as well use the Opera House for something. Jenny Lynn sure won't be singing there anymore. Not like she did for the grand opening. Howdy.
Afternoon. Excuse me.
Oh, sure.
Mind handing me that box?
Hmm?
That one there on the desk.
Oh, this one, yeah.
Yeah, I want to put these papers in it. Yeah, thanks.
You're cleaning out the office,
that's
huh?
That's right.
I see. Moving to another place.
Yeah.
Well, I guess there's plenty of vacancies in Virtue City, isn't there?
Yeah, there'll soon be one more.
Oh, wait a minute, what... You leaving town?
I sure am, mister. In 3 weeks, that's what I wasted here. 3 weeks. Well, I'm not wasting any more time. Tomorrow night, that's the deadline, then I take the stage. Virtue City doesn't deserve a railroad, and they're not getting one.
Hmm?
Well, what's on your mind?
Under the circumstances, I'm not exactly sure.
That's no surprise. Nobody's sure of anything around here.
No, what I mean is I was figuring on signing up with the railroad. I've laid track before, and I thought that I heard the new line was going through Virtue City.
You heard wrong, mister.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm sorry to have troubled you.
There's other folks who should be sorry. Gave me their word. Said they'd have the right of way free and clear. Ought to sue them. That's what we ought to do.
Britt Ponsett.
Hmm?
Over here in the courthouse. It's me, Doc Cross.
What? Oh, hello, Doc.
Come on in. I think I'm on in.
Oh, well, sure. Doc?
Second office, Britt, on your right.
Oh, I didn't know you were still living in a... What in the thunder are you doing in a wheelchair, Doc?
Oh, I fell off my horse a couple of months ago. It was his fault, not mine.
Oh, his fault. Oh, sure, yes. Did you break anything?
Well, I ain't positive. I had to send for Doc Sampson over to Watsonville. He says I broke my leg. Old butcher. Don't think he'd know a broken leg from a floating kidney. If you ask me, he's keeping me off my feet so he'll get a crack at all my patients.
Oh, well, Doc could do you good. Get a little rest.
Maybe. Hey, well, sit down, Britt. Sit down.
Thanks. Well, I was kind of surprised to see the courthouse still open. I thought they'd moved county seat over to Fort Gray.
Politicians. Yeah, those people in Fort Gray bribed the legislature. That's what they did. But we'll get the county seat back again. Just you wait and see. Meantime, we're using the courthouse for a city hall. I guess we got just about the fanciest city hall west of Denver.
Yeah,
I
wouldn't be surprised.
I'm the mayor now, Britt.
Oh,
yes,
wow.
Good for you. What about you? What brought you to Virtue City after all this time? I hope you ain't just passing through.
Well, I'm afraid so, Doc. I was aiming to sign up at the railroad, but since they ain't coming this way...
Not coming this way, but... Who told you that?
Well, that fellow over at the opera house.
Oh, that's Nelson. Fab Nelson. Don't pay no attention to him.
Well, he works for the railroad, doesn't he?
Well, yes, he does. But he ain't never wanted the line to go through Virtue City anyhow. He'd rather it went the way of Watsonville. If you ask me, Watsonville is paying him off.
Oh?
That's the reason he's been looking for an excuse to get out of our contract. He figures this trouble with Annie will let him off the hook.
Annie?
Silver Annie. You remember her, Britt. Annie Huxley.
Annie Huxley. Oh, sure. I thought she'd moved away.
No such luck. She's still setting on the old Huxley mine like a hen hatching eggs. Only thing is, there ain't no eggs in that mine, not anymore.
Well, what's she got to do with the railroad, though?
Well, Britt, the route's been surveyed to go through her property. Town agreed to secure all the right-of-ways the railroad would need. We're willing to pay for them and a good price.
But Annie's not satisfied with what you're offering.
We don't know. She won't talk to us. Won't even let anybody near her shack.
Oh.
She just sits there day and night, right by the window with her shotgun poking out. Anybody comes on her land, she lets go. Got some fool notion there's still silver in that mine, and folks are trying to get it away from her. Plumb crazy, that's what she is, if you ask me.
Oh, I wouldn't say that, Doc. Maybe Annie's living the past a little bit. She's got quite a past to live in, too, you know. Gee whiz, I remember about her wedding to Sin Huxley, about how he put down a street of silver dollars all around the church. You remember that?
Yes, well, that's beside the point. I sent for Clyde Huxley.
Clyde?
Yeah, he's a relative of Sin's, a distant cousin or something like that, but a relative. We had to pay his fare all the way out from Chicago.
Mm-hmm. He's seeing Annie yet?
That's where he is right now, and he'll straighten her out. You see, he's a lawyer, and he's not the kind to put up with any nonsense. So, well, Mr. Huxley, I didn't see you ride up, and I've been watching the street.
I didn't ride. I walked.
Now, don't tell me that horse of mine threw you, too. I'm just going to...
didn't throw me. Where will I find the chief of police?
What?
I'm charging that woman with attempted murder.
Oh, you don't mean Annie.
I certainly do mean Annie. She ought to be locked up. And if I have anything to do with it, she will be.
She wouldn't sign over the right-of-way, huh? Not even for you, her own kin.
I didn't get a chance to discuss it. She shot at me, point blank.
Don't look like she hit you.
It was a miracle she didn't.
Well, I guess she just didn't know who you were, Mr. Huxley. She didn't recognize you.
I told her who I was. Right after that, she fired.
Yeah, some folks just don't cotton to relatives, it seems like.
Well, she tried to kill me.
Oh, no, she was just defending her property, Mr. Huxley. If she'd wanted to kill you, you wouldn't be walking around now. Annie knows how to handle a gun.
Well, now, we got to do something, Britt. If we don't have that right away by tomorrow, Nelson, he's the railroad man, Nelson will leave town. The railroad will go through Watsonville, and that'll just about wash up Virtue City once and for all.
Well, now, there must be some way of explaining things to Annie, Doc. I'd throw her in jail. I'd just have to make her more cussed than ever, you know.
But, say, maybe there is another way. Sure. Somebody she trusted, somebody who didn't have no axe to grind. She'd listen to him.
Now, Doc.
You got those papers all ready for her to sign, Mr. Huxley?
Doc.
Then give them to Britt.
Doc, now this ain't my affair, Doc. Now, I don't want to get mixed up with this.
Oh, I know you, Britt.
No,
you wouldn't let us down, not at a time like this. Go on, Huxley, give him the papers.
Now, wait a minute.
We'll never forget what you're doing, Britt. The whole town will be in your debt. Just get her to sign, and the places are marked with an X.
Doc. Next thing I knew, I was riding up to the Huxley mine. Annie's shack was next to the main shaft, about 100 yards off the road. I slid down out of the saddle and tried the gate. Holy smokes. Padlock big enough to protect the Denver Mint was chained around the post. Well, I had nothing else to do but climb over the fence. Getting on toward dusk. Now, I didn't know whether to sneak up on Annie unawares or just walk up to the front door in plain sight and take my chances. While I was making up my mind, I was squatting down behind a pile of wooden boxes. Well, at least one thing was certain. I wasn't going to sneak up on her unawares.
Go on! Be it! Next time I won't miss.
I'll put that thing down, Annie, or I'll shoot it out of your hands.
Well, who's off there? Who is that?
Britt Ponsett.
Britt?
That's right.
I'm on a node. None of the flea-bitten skunks from around here would have nerve enough to talk to me that way.
All right, I'm coming in, Annie.
I guess there's no stopping you. Not that I believe you'd ever try to shoot this gun out of my hand, Britt, no matter what you say.
Well, that makes us even, man. I don't believe you would aim it at me, either. How are things, Annie?
Well, not too bad. Not too bad. Hey, close that door, will
you? Sure.
Fact of the matter is, Britt, I've been working the southern shaft lately. Found a vein that looks real promising. One of these days, the Huxley will be going full force again.
Mm-hmm. Now, Annie, you don't really believe that.
Why, of course I believe it. Why shouldn't I? We took $250,000 out of this mine, Sin and me, and there's plenty more. It's just a question of finding it. Here, you want some coffee?
Yeah, thanks. Now, these hills have been worked dry, Annie. There's no silver in them, not anymore. And that's why I came up to talk to you.
Here. Drink your coffee.
Thanks.
It's about the right of way for the railroad. You're just wasting your breath.
No, but Doc Cross said you didn't know anything about the railroad, that nobody had been able to explain it to you.
Oh, nobody had to explain it. There's nothing goes on in Virtue City that I don't get wind of. I ain't lived here 35 years for nothing.
Well, Doc says the town needs the railroad, needs it bad.
Why, I got no objection to a railroad into Virtue City. Probably need it myself to haul the ore out when I strike a rich vein. But the line don't have to go through my property.
Mm-hmm. In a mountain country like this, railroads don't have much choice. I asked Doc Cross. The only other route would cost a whole lot more money, more than the Rocky Mountain Western's willing to pay.
Well, that ain't my problem. All I care about is the Huxley. And they not laying any tracks across it.
All right, Annie. All right. That's the way you feel. Thanks for the coffee. Oh, I guess maybe I ought to warn you. Your cousin's talking about putting you in jail.
He ain't my cousin. He's Sin, and Sin never had no use for him neither.
Well, whoever he is, he's...
And as for putting me in jail, he'll have to find somebody to come out here and arrest me first. From what I've seen of him this afternoon, there ain't much chance.
There she is.
Hey!
Give me that gun, Annie.
Don't
make no trouble.
Now, what's going on here, Huxley?
I told you I was going to swear out a warrant for arrest. Thanks to you, the sheriff was able to serve it.
Rick Ponsett!
Now, wait a minute. Annie.
Of all the low-down means...
Annie?
Keeping me occupied so
no,
they
no,
could
I...
sneak in here.
No,
why,
no, no.
Why,
come
this...
on, Annie, let's go. Listen, Annie, I can swear
I've
to you
I've done
that...
enough listening to you already.
Annie?
Take your hands off me, Sheriff. I ain't one of the girls from Crawford's Saloon. I'm Silver Annie Huxley. And when I go to jail, I go under my own power.
We'll return to James Stewart as the six-shooter in a moment. First, a word from Coleman, America's leader in modern automatic home heating equipment.
When winter comes, does your house shrink like this?
Well, I guess it's time to close off the two back rooms. There's just no way to heat them.
Don't deprive yourself of valuable living space. Get a Coleman floor furnace or wall heater and enjoy new warmth and comfort in the hardest-to-heat rooms.
A Coleman floor furnace, a wall heater, takes up a minimum of space, yet it gives you constant circulation of fresh, warm air, just as a big basement furnace does. You'll be snug and comfortable all winter long.
And if you're interested in economy as well as comfort, listen to this. Coleman floor furnaces and wall heaters are low in price, low in operating cost, because Coleman gives you maximum heat from the fuel you use, either gas or LP gas.
See your Coleman dealer tomorrow. You'll find his name and address in your telephone directory. Remember, comfort costs so little with a Coleman.
Now, Act Two of The Six Shooter, starring James Stewart as Britt Ponsett.
Well, they put Annie in a buckboard and started out for town. I rode alongside for half a mile or so and tried to tell her I wasn't part of getting her arrested, but she wasn't listening. So I gave Starry's head. It was about 9 o'clock when I got back to Virtue City. The place looked even stranger by night than by day. Just a light here and there where folks were living. And then whole blocks of darkness in between. Sort of like the candles on a cake when part of them had been blown out. I stopped off at the Mansion Hotel long enough to get me a room, and then I headed over to Doc Cross's house. He was sitting in the living room eating a box of hard candy when I got there.
Come on in, Brick. Come on in. How'd you make out? Get her to sign on the dotted line?
No.
Sorry to hear that. Oh, my gosh. I ought to know better than to eat this stuff with my teeth. Sure is good, though. Have a piece?
No, thanks.
Well, now, you mustn't feel too bad, Britt. I was afraid you wouldn't have much luck with her. So was Mr. Huxley. He went ahead and got that warrant drawn up.
Yeah, I know.
Huh?
Yeah. I was there when the sheriff arrested her. She thinks I was in cahoots with him and Huxley.
Oh, well, now that's a shame. But don't you worry. I'll see she finds out the truth.
Oh, I guess it served me right for getting mixed up in her affairs.
No, you wasn't mixing, Britt. You was just doing us a favor, and we're all much obliged. Mm-hmm. You know, sending for Clyde Huxley was just about the smartest stunt I ever pulled.
Maybe so, but you haven't got the right of way yet.
We'll get it, Britt. We'll get it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think jailing her's the answer. Besides, you'll have to turn her loose anyway. Huxley can't make that charge of attempted murder stake.
No, he's not charging her with anything, Britt.
What?
It's just a question of whether she's got all her faculties or not. That's what the hearing will be about.
You mean he's claiming she's crazy?
Well, you said yourself she was peculiar.
I said she lived in the past, that's all. Everybody's got something to remember, does that, more or less?
Well, in her case, it's more, not less. Of course, it's up to Judge Drayton to decide.
Well, hasn't there got to be medical testimony and a sanity hearing?
Yep. Huxley subpoenaed me this evening.
Oh, doggone it, Doc. Now, this just isn't right.
Huxley's her only relative. He looked up our state law. It says the nearest relative can demand a sanity hearing if there's sufficient cause.
You take that mine away from her, you'll break her heart.
Now, wait a minute, Britt. You said yourself this wasn't none of your business, that you were sorry you mixed into it.
Sure, but it just looks like I got mixed up in it. All right, good night, Doc. I'll see you later.
Mrs. Huxley, I want to get this clear. You admit firing a shotgun at various people who've approached your place of residence at various times.
I've shot at people trying to get into the Huxley mine, if that's what you mean.
That's right. Now, how often has this occurred?
As often as they tried it.
Now, order. Now, you come to order. It's a very serious matter. Now, let's see. Where, yes. Surely you must admit this behavior of yours isn't exactly normal.
It's normal for me.
Order? What I mean is, the average person doesn't use firearms on harmless visitors.
The average person don't own the Huxley mine. I do.
Your Honor.
Go ahead, Mr. Huxley.
This is the crux of my poor cousin's delusion. This feeling of hers that the Huxley mine is of some great value, that it still contains silver, when we all know that it's worthless.
And just how do you know that?
You've proved it to us. For 10 years you've lived there and searched the shafts every day. Have you found silver? Even a trace of it?
No, I ain't.
You see, Your Honor.
If that makes me crazy, then Sin must have really been out of his head. He spent 12 years prospecting that mine before he made his first strike. I still got 2 years to go before I'll be even with him.
Yes, but there was silver there then.
There is now, out.
Your Honor.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Huxley, but after what Doc Cross said and then what you yourself say, well, I'm afraid that the law allows me no alternative.
Excuse me, Your Honor.
Now, see here. We're not going to have any more interruptions. Who is that man, Doc?
Rip Ponson.
Ponson, the six-shooter?
Yes, and now don't you let him talk to you.
Well, if there's something you wish to say, Mr. Ponson, this here court will be happy to hear you.
Oh, thanks, Judge. I've been listening to this hearing, and like Mr. Huxley says, it all seems to hinge on whether or not there's any silver in the Huxley mine. What I mean is, if there was silver, then Annie's actions wouldn't seem so strange, would they?
No, I suppose not. She'd be protecting a valuable piece of land. But...
Yeah, I think maybe you ought to see this report here. You see, I took some ore samples from the Huxley mine over to this assay office this morning. And, here's one of them.
I'm afraid I don't quite follow you, Mr. Potter.
If you'll just read that report, Your Honor.
Let's see, samples... Tested, show a value of approximately $125 a ton.
$125?
Yeah, I figured they'd run a little higher, but I guess...
Let me see that, Judge.
I can't believe it.
Well, that's what it says, all right. $120. Rip, this ore come from the Huxley?
Yeah, that's where it came from.
Listen, everybody. Everybody, Annie's found silver again. For all we know, the whole town's been sitting on it, just like in the old days. Silver!
But what about the railroad? You've got a contract with my company.
We don't need your railroad, Nelson. We've got silver.
Yes. Yep.
Now, I wouldn't be too hasty, Doc. Of course, there's no possibility of bringing the line through the Huxley now, I suppose. But there is that other route. It cost Mr. Nelson's company a little more money.
That might be arranged. Of course, I'll have to check with the main office.
Oh, you would? Well, that seems a shame. Too bad you can't sort of make the decision right now on the spot, you know, before another railroad hears about the silver and tries to beat you in here.
No. On second thought, there really isn't any reason to delay the matter. If you'll just drop by my office, Dr. Cross, I'll send the contract and give the order to begin construction on the other route.
Well, I guess that takes care of everything, except Annie and the sanity hearing. You were just about to hand down a ruling, Judge, weren't you?
Now, you come to order. Well, there's no question about her sanity. And I'm surprised at you, Mr. Huxley. A lawyer of your standing, pressing a complaint like this. Why, Silver Annie Huxley is one of Virtue City's outstanding citizens. Always has been. Always will be. Court adjourned.
Inside of 5 minutes, the only people left in that courtroom were me and Annie. It's a funny thing, you know. She was the only person who hadn't been excited about the silver. She just kind of stared at me without budging. And then the corners of her lips sort of wrinkled up into a smile.
Rick Ponson?
Yes, ma'am.
You better get out of town before they find out. They'd tar and feather you for sure.
Well, what are you talking about, Annie?
Why, you think I didn't recognize that piece of ore? I ought to. I've been looking at it for 30 years. Them samples have been sitting on my dresser ever since Sin found them in his first strike.
No.
You saw them last night. You knew they were souvenirs from the old days.
Well, they could have been something that you dug up recently, couldn't they?
I'm not saying you lied, Britt. All you told them was that the ore was from the Huxley. That's true enough. It's just a good thing they didn't ask you when.
Yes, I guess it is. Well, anybody can make a mistake, you know.
You knew what you were doing. And you knew the railroad would be coming through the other route before they got wise.
No, I wouldn't exactly say that, but Under the circumstances, I kind of think maybe I'd better leave town. Don't you think that will be... So long, Annie.
Wait a minute, Britt. I want to thank you.
Oh, well, nothing to thank me for, Annie. It just looks like I can't tell old ore samples from fresh ones. That's all.
It was a month or two later before I heard about Virtue City again. Bumped into a fellow in Idaho Springs who was heading up that way. Said there'd been a big silver strike near the town. I tried to talk him out of going over there. I told him it was probably just a false alarm. He wouldn't listen. He said there'd been a false strike 3 or 4 weeks ago, and everybody went out prospecting. And the first thing you knew, somebody found silver. The real thing. Well, I had a newspaper from Virtue City to prove it. Editorial on the front page was by Doc Cross about moving the county seat back to where it belonged. Well, things sure have a funny way of working out, don't they?
Here's a tip for more great dramatic entertainment each week on the NBC Radio Network. Direct from his great hit in From Here to Eternity comes a new dramatic Frank Sinatra to play the hard-hitting adventure role of Rocky Fortune every Tuesday evening. And if comedy is your weakness, you'll want to know that Fibber McGee and Molly are now heard every day, Monday through Friday, on the NBC Radio Network. Remember, you'll hear more of America's greatest radio programs if you keep your dial set to this same station of the NBC Radio Network. Coleman, America's leader in modern automatic home heating equipment, and the National Broadcasting Company have presented James Stewart as the Six Shooter. Mr. Stewart may currently be seen in the Universal International picture Thunder Bay. Others in the cast were Jeanette Nolan, Dan O'Herlihy, Herb Vigran, Robert Griffin, and Parley Bear. The Six Shooter is an NBC Radio Network production in association with Review Productions and is based on a character created by Frank Burke, and the transcribed story is written by him. Special music was by Basil Adlam, and the entire production is under the direction of Jack Johnstone. All characters and incidents were fictitious, and any resemblance to actual characters or incidents is purely coincidental. Hal Gibney speaking. Listen to Last Man Out next on the NBC Radio Network.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
The changing of seasons can affect how you feel. 1 in 5 people experience some form of depression, no matter the time of year.
At the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, our vision is to build a mentally healthy nation for all. Visit mentallyhealthynation.org to learn more.
In just a moment, you'll hear James Stewart as the Six Shooter, just one of the many great stars brought to you on Sundays on NBC. Every Sunday, hear Hume Cronin and Jessica Tandy in The Marriage, Sir Laurence Olivier on Theatre Royal, and Lawrence Tippett with the Golden Voices, Helen Hayes, Frederick March, Rex Harrison, and Lily Palmer on the NBC Star Playhouse. All of them heard only on NBC. James Stewart as the Six Shooter. The man in the saddle is angular and long-legged. His skin is sun-dyed brown. The gun in his holster is gray steel and rainbow mother of pearl, its handle unmarked. People call them both the Six Shooter. The NBC Radio Network presents James Stewart as The Six Shooter, a transcribed series of radio dramas based on the life of Britt Ponsett, the Texas plainsman who wandered through the Western territories, leaving behind a trail of still remembered legends. Now, in just a moment, immediately following this important announcement, you will hear Act One of The Six Shooter. A lot of vacations start as a daydream and end as a daydream for lack of money. That need not happen to you. You can have extra money when you need it. Simply join the payroll savings plan for buying United States savings bonds. When your bonds mature, you'll get back $4 for every $3 you invest. And there's your extra money, your vacation, both guaranteed. Ask your employer about buying United States savings bonds through the payroll savings plan, and then join. Now, Act One of The Six Shooter, starring James Stewart.
The wind had died down. It was quiet now. The only thing I could hear was the creek trickling away about 20 feet down from where I'd made camp for the night. I shifted my blanket, turned over on one side. The moon came out, and I could see the water skimming along, washing the pebbles clean. And, gee, it's funny the way the sound of a creek always makes you drowsy. I started to close my eyes, and then I got that same feeling again, that feeling I'd had all day. Scarfella, too. Ever since we turned off the main road into the trail to Petersville, I'd had a hunch that there was another horse not very far behind. Whoever was riding him managed to keep out of sight, but it was the same kind of a hunch you get when you feel a pair of eyes drilling into the back of your neck and then turn around and spot somebody staring at you. And Scar hadn't been traveling very fast. Anybody could have caught us. It was real easy. The fellow back there hadn't wanted to catch up. That is, if my hunch was right. It wouldn't be the first time I played the wrong hunch. You know? No point of losing sleep over it, anyhow. It was Scar that woke me up. I could see a shadow over by my pile of grub, and not more than 6-8 feet away. I inched my hand from under the blanket, and I got a grip on my gun. Are you looking for something, mister? Now, now. Hold on. Oh, just a minute. Hold on now. There. That's better. I'd kind of like to find out why you're pretty young to be roaming around this country, aren't you, son?
I'm 11.
Ah. You the fellow's been following me all day?
It's a free trail, ain't it?
Yeah, just is.
Then you ain't got no right to interfere with my riding over.
Oh, that's true enough. But, you haven't got much right stealing my grub, either.
I didn't steal any.
Well, that's what you were fixing to do, isn't it?
Maybe.
Ah. Now, if you're hungry, you're welcome to it. I got plenty of grub here, but you just didn't have to come sneaking around to...
I didn't know who you was. I was afraid you might try to send me back home.
Uh-huh. Well, just where is home?
Crescent.
Oh. Well, if you'll stir up the fire, I'll see what I can do about heating up some beans. How's that sound?
I'd appreciate it.
Good. All right. Hand me that pan, will you? There we are.
You won't tell nobody you ran into me, will you, mister? You won't tell them you seen me.
Well,
you're not taking me back to Crescent. No matter what happens, I'm not going back there. You understand that?
I'll take it easy now. You're not the first boy to run away from home. Far from it. Most of them hike off when they're about your age, and... But they don't usually miss more than one meal before they turn back. At least I didn't. What happened? Your dad give you a whipping?
No, sir. My pop wouldn't hurt me either. He's a fine man. The finest man that ever lived.
Sure, yeah. Well, here's your beans.
I'm heading for Petersville to find my father. He told me when I was big enough I could join up with him. Well, big enough now, ain't I?
Yeah, yeah. Real good-sized boy for 11. Say that much. How How come you haven't been staying with your dad?
He moves around a lot.
Oh, I see.
So I've been living with Aunt Aggie ever since Ma died. But it's not the same as being with your own pa.
No, I just didn't.
And I made up my mind. As soon as I found out where he was, I was going to him.
Mm-hmm. You sure your dad's in Petersville?
Aunt Aggie got a letter from here last Monday. I heard her talking to Uncle Ray about it and heard him mention Pa's name. He sounded kind of worried, like something had happened to him.
Uh-huh.
Then when they saw me, they shut up. You reckon Pa's sick? You reckon that's what they were talking about?
I don't know, son. It could be that.
I asked them what was in the letter, but they wouldn't tell me. Now I'm going to find out for myself.
Well, seeing how I'm heading for Petersville, too, I guess there's no reason why we shouldn't ride along together. And if we're going to be traveling companions, we ought to introduce ourselves, don't you think?
My name's Larkin. Rink Larkin.
Oh, pleased to meet you, Rink. I'm Rip Ponsett.
Rip Ponsett?
That's right.
Fiddle they call a six-shooter? Gee, where's Mr. Ponsett? I didn't mean to talk back to you the way I did. If I'd known who you was... Say, would you mind showing me your gun? I've heard folks talk about that gun of yours ever since I was a kid.
Sure. Here,
oh,
catch.
Oh, boy. Ain't near as heavy as it looks.
Yeah? Well, you know about guns, Rank?
Some. Want to see me give it a twirl?
Sure, let's see. Hey, that's fine. Whoop.
Of course, it ain't the way you do it, though. But here, Mr. Ponson, thanks for showing it to me.
Sure. Well, I guess we still got a couple hours before sun up. Why don't you bring your horse over here by the fire? Maybe we can get some shut-eye.
Good idea. Oh, Mr. Ponson.
Yeah?
I'm right pleased I bumped into you tonight.
So am I, Rank. So am I. We got an early start the next morning. That is, considering that it took me almost half an hour to get Rink awake and on his feet. It was about 4 o'clock when we got into Petersville. I'd been through that way for a couple of years, but the town, it hadn't changed much. About the only thing different I saw was new livery stable and a fresh coat of green paint on the Jackson Hotel. Men playing checkers in the front porch, they hadn't changed at all. Except maybe their beards a little grayer. Of course, my hair wasn't exactly the same shade it used to be, you know. But that was from being out in the sun so much. At least that's how I figured. Well, we pulled up beside a yellow adobe building right next door to the hotel and climbed off our horses. Well, come on, Rank. Let's go inside and see what we can find out about your father.
That's the sheriff's office.
Mm-hmm. Sure, he'll know where he is. If any... What's the matter, Rank?
I don't like sheriffs, that's all.
Huh. Haven't been giving you trouble, have they?
I don't like them neither. Heard him say so once. He was talking to a friend of his and heard him say how he hated some sheriff.
Oh, well, I don't imagine he was talking about Sheriff Jay. There's good sheriffs and bad sheriffs, you know, like everything else. You know. But most of them are good. Come on now, come on.
Rip Ponson.
Hello, Sheriff. Hi.
What in thunderation you doing in Petersville?
Well, the widow Jenkins is going east for her daughter's wedding. Uh-huh. She asked me to look after her place while she's away.
Well, it sure is good to see you. Say, who's your friend here?
No, this is Rink, Sheriff. He was coming to Petersville, too, so we decided to ride along together.
Pleased to meet you, son.
Howdy.
Matter of fact, that's why we stopped in to talk to you. Rink wants to find out about his father.
I'd be glad to help out if I can. What's his name, son?
Larkin. Earl Larkin.
Oh, I see. I'm sorry. You're just a couple of hours too late.
Too late?
I wrote to your pa's sister in Crescent. Her answer came in on the morning stage. She said she didn't want your pa's body for us to bury him here. Funeral was this morning.
Pa's dead?
Why, you knew about him being killed, didn't you? Your aunt told you.
I guess she didn't, Sheriff.
Oh, I didn't mean to blurt it out, Britt. I figured...
How?
I thought...
How did it happen?
We don't have to talk about that now, son.
I want to know. What happened?
Look, suppose you come up to my house for supper, huh? After you've had a nice home-cooked meal.
It won't do you no good to stall, Sheriff. I want to know who killed him.
He'll find out anyway, Sheriff.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess he will. All right, son. It was me.
You?
Marshal over at Atterbury sent word that Larkin and his pal Cliff Traeger were heading this way. I had heard about him before. I knew what to expect. He rode into town about noontime. I was waiting inside the bank. I had deputized some of the boys, and they were with me. Your pa and Traeger didn't have a chance, son, but they shot it out anyway. Wouldn't drop their guns, even though we had the draw on them. Traeger, he got away into the hills. But Larkin, I'm really sorry, son. Sorry I had to be the one to do it, and even sorrier I had to tell you about it.
You're a liar. A dirty, stinking liar. My pa never tried to rob no bank. You take it back, what you said about it. I'll make you take it back, every word.
Now, here now, you...
Dirty rotten...
Now, Rink, here, get a hold of yourself here now.
Oh, go on me, you kill my pa. He's a murderer, murderer, murderer.
Now, Rink!
I didn't want to hit you, Rink, but I got...
Why shouldn't you hit me? You're his friend, ain't you? He killed my pa, and you're his friend.
I think I ought to go after him, Britt. Try to explain.
No, I expect it's best to leave him by himself for a while.
But this wasn't the first holdup Larkin and Traeger tried to pull out by a long shot. I didn't have no chance.
Yeah.
Well, someday the boy will understand. Someday when he's older.
Yeah. The trouble is, things don't wait for a person to reach the understanding age. They happen anyway. Whether a person's ready for him or not. But it doesn't look like Rink's ready. Not for this, anyway.
We'll return to James Stewart as the six-shooter in just a moment. Monday night brings magnificent musical programs to the NBC radio network. It's an evening designed for restful relaxation. A time to sit back in your favorite chair and listen to melodies old and new on such famous programs as The Voice of Firestone, The Railroad Hour, and The Telephone Hour. The Voice of Firestone continues to enchant radio audiences from coast to coast, and the program is now in its 25th year. Also on Monday evenings, enjoy the operettas presented on The Railroad Hour. Gordon McRae is your Railroad Hour host, and each week he is joined by a charming guest artist in the stellar productions of this fine show. You'll also want to hear the Telephone Hour every week as it presents the music of Donald Voorhees and the Bell Symphonic Orchestra and Chorus, as well as superb guest soloists. Listen Monday evenings on the NBC Radio Network. Now, Act Two of The Six Shooter, starring James Stewart as Britt Ponsett.
After I made sure of a room for the night, I started out looking for Rink. I had a hunch I wouldn't have a hard time finding him. There was only one cemetery in Petersville, a sloping hill west of town. Pines all around it and soft green ferns mixed in between the trees. Rink was there, sitting on his haunches right beside a mound of fresh earth. He wasn't crying, but his cheeks were streaked with wet dust where the tears had been. Oh, Rink. Say, if these things were your paws, I thought maybe you might like to have them here. You, want some supper?
I'm not hungry.
Yeah, well...
You believe what the sheriff said, don't you? You believe he was right to kill Pa?
Well, I wasn't there. I didn't see how it happened.
But you're on his side anyway.
Well, people don't have sides, Rank. Not on a thing like this.
I do. I'm on Pa's side. He was a good man. Never did anybody harm, never. No matter what that lying sheriff says.
Well, maybe you saw your dad different from other folks. And that doesn't mean you're wrong. Maybe with you, he was different.
I want to make it up for him, Mr. Potts. I'm going to get even with that sheriff. I will, so help me.
Now, you listen to me.
Let me alone, Mr. Ponsett. Just stop John and let me alone.
All right. All right, Rank. Now, if you change your mind, you,
You know where the hotel is, huh? Good night.
I thought he would change his mind. I thought it'd get cold out there in a couple hours and he'd come sneaking into the hotel room, but he didn't. He didn't change his mind. I had the room all to myself. I didn't sleep very much, though. You know how it is when you're expecting something to happen, you sort of keep thinking about it in spite of yourself, and you just don't sleep very sound. Anyway, I... Yeah? Who is it?
Me, Britt. Sheriff Jay.
Oh, come on in, Sheriff. Oh, morning.
Hope I didn't wake you.
No, I wasn't asleep. I should have been up a long time ago, but hand me my boots, sir, will you?
Hmm? Oh, sure.
Thanks.
Hey, boy's not with you?
No. No, I haven't seen him since last night. Don't know where he went.
Oh?
Something the matter?
Thompson's hardware store was robbed about 3 a.m. No money missing. Just a revolver and some bullets, as far as Brad Thompson can tell.
Oh, I see.
Got in through the back window. Found some boot prints outside. Small boots. Size a boy'd be wearing.
Wait. Did you find anything else?
Yeah. There's a pretty clear trail leading away from behind the store. You're real easy to follow. Almost as if the fellow who robbed the hardware store left the tracks intentional so somebody'd come after him.
What happened to that towel? Oh, here it is.
It was the Larkin kid, wasn't it, Britt?
No, it could have been.
Don't tell me he's got some fool notion of revenge on his father.
Well, he did say something about getting even, Jay.
So he figures when I go riding after him, he'll get a chance to kill me. Is that how you see it?
Well, it's pretty hard to be sure what's going on a youngster's head sometimes.
Doggone it, Britt. Sometimes I wonder why I keep on wearing this star. No matter what you do, it's wrong. Earl Larkin ain't the first man I've killed, not by a long sight. And he deserved it more than most. Killing him didn't end nothing. Just turned his kid bad. I guess I should have...
Let Larkin kill you?
Oh, no.
You going after Rink?
Maybe the kid will come to his senses.
When you're 11 years old and you get set on accomplishing something, you don't change your mind very easy, you know.
What do you expect me to do, Britt? Go up in those hills and shoot it out with an 11-year-old boy? I got a son of my own. Ned's just about the same age as Rink.
Oh?
If Rink was covering me right now, there in that door, if I saw his finger starting to squeeze the trigger, I wouldn't be able to shoot. No matter what, I wouldn't be able to shoot.
Where's his trail laid?
East, over towards Skull Mountain.
Oh, Widow Jenkins' ranch right over that way. I'm riding out to see her this morning.
Well, I guess it doesn't matter whether I go after Rink or he comes after me. Might as well get it over with. That's what you think I ought to do, ain't it, Britt?
Oh, no. No, not necessarily. All I was thinking was that if you did happen to decide to follow Rank, well, we could ride out together, part way at least. We're getting pretty close to Black Canyon, are we?
Yeah, it's only about half a mile.
If somebody wanted to set up an ambush, that canyon would be a good place, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Well, here's the turnoff to the Jenkins Ranch.
Huh? Oh, yes. That's right. Well. Ma Jenkins wasn't expecting me before sundown, so I didn't need to turn off just yet. I could ride along with Sheriff Jay a little bit further. We were moving through Black Canyon now, rocks on both sides, plenty of cover for a person who wanted it. Rink's trail went right straight ahead, and that's why we didn't pay much attention to what was happening behind us. Not enough attention, anyway. I did hear something, a little scratching noise. By the time I turned my head, a barrel of a revolver was poked out through a crevice between two boulders. And it wasn't Rink who was holding the gun.
All right, boys.
What?
And don't rage.
Traeger!
Told you not to rage. Next time won't be your hand. Who are you?
My name's Ponset. Britt Ponset.
Oh. Sure took your time coming after me, Sheriff. Were you waiting for somebody like the six shooter to give you a hand?
I never thought you'd be fool enough to hang around. I give you credit for having good sense.
I'd have been glad to move on, but my horse went lame on me. Besides, you put a bullet through my shoulder, remember? Just hold still, Sheriff. The wound is healed now. Okay, climb out of the saddle. But don't hurry things. Come down slow, one at a time. You first, Ponson. Your turn, Sheriff. Now, walk forward a couple of steps. Away from your horses. Hold it. Oh, boy, I forget it. What happened to Locke? I said...
He died a couple of hours after you and him held up the bank.
Well, that's the way it goes. All right, now let's...
You haven't seen his kid, have you?
What? Larkin's kid?
Yeah, a boy about 11 years old.
And what would I be... You mean he's in these parts?
Yeah, he's gunning for the sheriff here.
Sure takes after his old man, don't he?
What do you mean, Traeger?
Huh? Well, that was Larkin's trouble. Liked the gun too much.
Oh?
Sure. Wasn't so bad when we first teamed up, but after a while he wasn't happy unless he could start a gunfight. Asked the sheriff. You know how he was there at the bank. Now, if it had been up to me, we'd have given up when we saw he had us cornered, but not Earl. Anyhow.
You might have been better off if you'd given up.
No, not me, Ponson. Earl, maybe, but not me. Anyway, he'd have been killed sooner or later. Fellas always blazing away, someone's always going to blaze back at him.
Uh-huh.
Now, me, I'm different. I don't enjoy killing the way Earl did.
Uh-huh. No,
of course, there's times when a man don't have no choice.
Traeger.
Like today, maybe. I got to have a horse, and I got to make a break out of these hills.
Now, look, Traeger.
Well, as I see it, there's only one way of getting a horse and of making sure you boys don't follow me.
Traeger!
At least, that's how I see it. So, I guess it don't leave me much choice, does it?
He cocked his gun, and a ray of sunlight glinted off the barrel as he tilted up just a fraction of an inch. And then his trigger finger started curling back real slow, like he was playing with us, making us wonder which one of us. I wasn't sure which one of us was going to get it first. If it was me, Sheriff Jay might have a chance to draw before Traeger could fire again. If it was the sheriff, then I... His aim was right between us. He was taunting us, and he knew it. And the slightest move by either one of us...
Yeah, that's right. Keep on wondering. Keep shaking. Nerves. Which one, you thinking? But it's going to be both of you. Because you're nice and close.
And his trigger finger kept tightening. Slowly.
And boys, it's going to be now. So...
For a split second, Trigger just stood there. Not moving. Then he fell down his face. And I saw Rink rise up from behind a rock about 8 feet away.
Rink!
Hello, Sheriff. Mr. Ponson.
Hello, Rink.
You. Holy mackerel, son. You sure turned up at the right time. You been hiding behind that rock all the time?
You see me, didn't you, Mr. Ponson? When I snuck up behind that rock? That's... Well, you kept talking about Pa.
I thought I saw somebody. Figured it might be you. Sure hoped it was.
I'm glad I heard what he said, Mr. Ponson. Otherwise, I'd never have believed about... I'm sorry I called you a liar, Sheriff. I'm sorry I tried to get you out here so
now,
I could...
Now, don't you worry about that, Rick. We're mighty grateful for what you did, both of us.
You sure know how to handle a gun.
Pa taught me. I still don't see how he could have been the kind of man who was also so good to me.
Sure, right. Sure, I know.
Well, sounds like Traeger's still got some life in him.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, we better be getting him back to town. Come on, Rank, give us a hand. Well, since I was going to be alone on the Jenkins place while Maul Jenkins went east, there didn't seem to be any good reason why Rink couldn't stay along there for a while, too. At least until the time for school to take up again. So I wrote a letter back to his aunt explaining things. She wrote back. She didn't seem to have any objections. But somehow, reading between the lines, I got the feeling she kind of missed that boy, Rink. And, well, wasn't very long before he began to miss her, too.
One of the finest things you can do is support your local Community Chest or United Fund. Through them, you can make just one yearly contribution that takes care of many needs. Since only one campaign is staged, much time and effort are saved. Your money is collected and administered honestly and efficiently. So give generously to your Community Chest or your local United Fund. The Six Shooter is an NBC Radio Network production in association with Review Productions. It is based on a character created by Frank Burt, and the transcribed story is written by him. Mr. Stewart may currently be seen in the Universal International picture Thunder Bay. Others in the cast were Sammy Ogg, Russell Thorson, and Tony Barrett. Special music for this program was by Basil Adlam, and the entire production is under the direction of Jack Johnstone. All characters and incidents were fictitious, and any resemblance to actual characters or incidents is purely coincidental. This is Hal Gibney speaking. Hear Stroke of Fate next on the NBC Radio Network.
How do you feel when you switch to GEICO and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with GEICO feels just like that. Get more with GEICO. How do you feel when you switch to GEICO and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with GEICO feels just like that. Get more with GEICO.
It's finally here. Stop into Menards for amazing Black Friday deals. A 54-inch giant snow tube is only $9.99 each. Ladies' slippers are just $6.99 a pair. And a men's heated jacket is $49.99. Ah, there's so many great Black Friday deals. I can't list them all. You'll have to hurry to Menards while supplies last to get these and many more Black Friday deals. Sale good Black Friday through December 1st. See Menards.com for details.
Save